הלימוד הקבלה,
the study of Kabbalah,
הוא שונה מכל לימוד אחר.
It's different from any other study. I learned quite a bit in my lifetime.
אהבתי ללמוד.
I liked studying.
ממש מגיל 9 הכרחתי את
ההורים שלי. Since I was 9 years old, I forced my parents to give me a subscription to all sorts of magazines, all sorts of some of them weekly, some of them monthly, especially scientific stuff, technical stuff. I liked it. I liked to know about everything, how it operates, how it works, how it's built, why. It's my nature. It's not good or bad. As usual, everyone has his own individual will to receive. After the university and more studies after that, also, until I reached the wisdom of Kabbalah, it took me several years until I began to listen that here you don't learn with your mind. I heard, listen, man, throw your head out. Throw your mind out. What does that mean? I'm sorry, you know, if not the mind, I don't know, what would it be left with? What else? I didn't know what they wanted from me, what they meant. Until I understood that here the study is in a completely different method. The main thing here is to invite this force which develops you and doesn't develop you mentally, intellectually, rather emotionally, from the inside. It builds in you more and more such things that were never beforehand. In their assistance, you can begin to feel a new world. Before reaching the teacher, I traveled to all sorts of Kabbalists and quotes. This was 76, 77, 1978. I was searching for someone who could teach me strongly, yes, intensely. And when I got to the Rabash in 1979, it's... I wanted him, like, give me diagrams, drawings, formulas, tables. If it's a spiritual world, I want to know how it's built, how it helps it exist, what forces operate there, how I can manage them, how they manage me, how does this operate on the corporal level and on the spiritual level. What connection do we have between them? How can I operate in this connection? I demanded a science. And here, after several years, I began really in a miracle to understand this is not wisdom. It's not knowledge. It's not a science. It is some method which brings you a new interior. It's like a new program, a new CD program is entered into the computer, and it begins to operate differently. Yes, it's the same hardware, but the connections, the programs, the cause and effect, everything begins to work entirely different than before. And this is how we must change by our study. In the introduction to Tess, the study of the Ten Sefirot, Baal HaSulam writes, well, he asks a question first. If all the books of Kabbalah we are basically incapable of understanding, us meaning those who are not yet in the spiritual world, then why are we reading them? Why do I need to know the worlds and the Pasufim and the screens, the Masachim, about thickness, about degrees, the light in the vessel, the oil and clay, and how this operates and this connects, and we chew on it and study it for thousands of hours? I mean, even if I'll mechanically remember them, yes, this is like that, this is from here, and this goes there, it's an artificial science. I mean, I could have invented it. Let's say, I said, let's assume, yes, you have such things in science. There's a theory developed, and they say, let's assume that there's this force and that force, this force of bestowal, force of reception, and there are such relations between them, and as a result of these relations, we have some knowledge developing, science. Such things occur. Many things are built this way. There's things in geometry, there's many theories built this way. We have quite a bit of this in physics especially, which is like a realistic science. But we built all sorts of theories, and afterwards we make the effort to find them in nature, what is good is good, what is not, until you find what is mutual between them. But here it doesn't work that way. Here we have no contact with it. This is one of the fundamental principles in the wisdom of Kabbalah. That which we learn, we don't understand a thing about it. And if it seems to us that we're understanding something, we're simply lying to ourselves. What are you understanding? What is there to understand? We may ask questions and answers, and yes, we need to know that we are playing like children. As if in a play, it's like we're playing this game of adults, like girls play with dolls and boys play with, I don't know, that they're driving a car. Yes, little boys. This is us playing when we're studying the wisdom of Kabbalah, as if we are already. But this play, this as if, we cannot forget that, but it's all false. So, still, what's the point? In order to desire to be in it, to take part in it, that I'm yearning to be there, this, just like that, like a child. In this, I'm inviting a great force from there, which comes to me and it develops me.
according to the same rules by which our children corporally grow. If a child didn't want to grow naturally, he would never grow. Today, we have corruptions from people who don't care to develop them. There's no force from the side of nature to develop them. Thus, we need to study to know that we're studying something which is entirely not understood by us, so we can't feel it in anything. Rather, it's only in order to yearn to be not as one who knows. We want to take part in this world. We want to enter there with our sensation. And by our yearning, a light comes to us which gives us vessels to feel it, to enter there. This is what Baal HaSulam writes to us in the introduction to Tess. You all heard this for sure, but maybe I'll read it again. He says this: there is to ask, why did Kabbalists obligate each person to study the wisdom of Kabbalah?
Yes,
if we don't understand anything about this, in any case, I mean, if I'm not in it, what the book is speaking about, I'm not living it, then why do I need it? He says, rather, there's the great thing in this, and worthy of speaking of. There is a great remedy for those who engage in this wisdom. Yes, a remedy. Yes, not something realistic, not something clear, not something I know where things have relations between them or what influences what. Rather, it is a remedy. A remedy means there is a connection, but I don't know in what form. Rather, I press here, and something just jumps up there, an effect. But I don't understand the connection between these two things. So he says that there is such a connection to study, to those who engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah, that even though they don't know what they study, yes, if they really think they understand, they're just lying to themselves. Nobody understands. Rather, out of a strong desire to understand what they study, to attain it, yes, to become familiar with it, they awaken upon themselves the surrounding lights. There is surrounding light which illuminates from the same state where our soul exists in the upper degree, and from there, from that same place, the light illuminates to us, and it is what develops us and raises us spiritually, this sensation in intellect, in mind, this the ability to be on that same level of the soul. And this is guaranteed for everyone to reach this, that they, in this they will feel their soul, meaning a new desire, understanding, awareness, a new life, that are present in a degree above our life, above time, motion, and space, that we shall feel ourselves in a degree which is eternal and whole, in a stream, in a harmony with the rest of reality, entirely in adhesion with the Creator. He says, this means that every person from Israel is guaranteed And he says, if not in this incarnation, then in the next one. Meaning all those who engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah must reach this. And everything is dependent upon him. Well, everything is dependent upon him. That's actually explained in a different place, where it says it's dependent upon the group and how one arranges himself in the group, how he organizes his study. Yes, but finally, this is guaranteed for everyone. More so, he explains it's for all of humanity, for everyone. It will come to everyone. Just that by the blows, sooner or later, everyone will come to it. In the article of the essence of the wisdom of Kabbalah, he says, he tells us that the wisdom of Kabbalah is the method of revelation of the Creator, meaning that same life, the same high eternal whole life for each and every one, at the same time when a person is alive in this world, not after that we pass away, like we hear that religions and faith speak of, rather here and now, we reveal our upper life, here and now, in adjoining our present life. And thus, the entire study is only in order to draw the light that reforms, to reform us, to return us to the good life. The truth, the result of all this, is that we are the biggest egoists. We are willing to give a bit of this life, yeah? How much is this life worth, yes? But to receive in return this huge, eternal, whole life. If so, we have yet another question. What book is worthwhile to study from? And this too the Kabbalists explain. Not all books are equal. It's spoken about books written by those who are in attainment. Yes, not just books written by, I don't know, these romance novels, Tolstoy or Charles Dickens or Thomas Mann, or I don't know what other famous authors. We have Dyser, other famous American artists maybe. We're speaking specifically about people who reached spiritual attainment, people who live in the spiritual world. They feel the spiritual world alongside this one. They exist in both worlds. They can look at this world and they feel the spiritual world and they write about it. And then we read these texts and we don't understand a thing, yes? Because they were observing the spiritual world and wrote it down for us. I'm looking at the piece of paper the Kabbalist wrote, but I can't see where he's seeing. So I'm told, yes, in any case, if you read, you can invite light up, you can invite illumination upon yourself from there. And yet there is also a difference between Kabbalists, between the books. Even between the books that have been written from the spiritual attainment, out of spiritual attainment. The strongest book and its influence upon man to bring him to revelation of the spiritual world is the book of Zohar. This is known for generations, just how intensely it operates and influences everything. Thus, I want to read to you now a bit on in praise of the book of Zohar, and then also to add a bit upon this, to hopefully understand what huge spiritual source here that we're dealing with. Why we have begun half a year to study this book. Beforehand, we didn't study it. Because I didn't think not the group and not the people outside in the world, I didn't think they were yet ready for it. Somehow I received an understanding, a commandment that the book must now be opened. That's how we began opening it now. So even now that we're reading, and you don't really understand a thing about it, and the book looks so shut and closed, and it's like speaking about things which are unrealistic and weird, and I have no connection between, I can't see a connection between even two adjacent words in the book. I simply want to read it like a good kid, word by word, yes, and think about one thing. I want to feel like one who is sick who is receiving his medicine. A bit more medicine, and a bit more medicine, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, and soon I'll be healthy. This is the attitude we must have towards it. Nothing more is desired from us. Nothing more is demanded from us. It is, as it is written, are you expecting salvation? That is the question presented before us in the study, and not more. Don't get confused. Don't think that if this is so, what is the wisdom of Kabbalah? We thought this is something serious, some science. Suddenly we're learning like some fools. Once again, it's incorrect. We are developing into a new world. It's like a baby or a small child in our world, where we don't know what world we exist in. You see this in the child, and he's willing to learn from the silliest of things told to him. He just opens himself up and he wants to absorb it all. And this is should be our attitude towards this new next world. And in each degree, in each next new world, we want to absorb it this way. We have 125 such, 125 degrees. Each degree is called the next world, the new world. This world is referring to the world where I reveal myself currently, and the next world is the next degree. So this is not something foolish or silly. It's something very, very unique that we have the ability, even in our age, to develop into an additional world, to be born into a new reality. Let's read what Kabbalists speak to us about the book of Zohar, because I must also give you time for questions and answers. Otherwise, I see people are starting to look at me once more with this look. You know, we'll work it out, right? You can wait till tomorrow, no? Okay. So look. Such now is the time, after 2,000 years, which obligates us to engage much in the book of Zohar, so we are ready to open up man from this horrid world. The language of the Zohar is capable of correcting the soul, even though one does not understand a thing of what he is reading. Yes, it's like a baby when we are reading these words and we don't understand a thing about them. It doesn't matter. It's really just like a baby. And it's written to us like this. It's a famous book, Degel Machane Mitzrayim, Ephraim. Degel Machane Ephraim. So it is said, the language of the Zohar is capable of correcting the soul, despite that we don't understand a thing from what we are saying. It is like one who enters a perfume shop. Yes, despite not purchasing anything, or a person cannot purchase, he has no money or a masach, screen. And yet he still acquires a good scent with him. That's how we are. We absorb surrounding light. I don't get it inside, like internal light, but I'm impressed by it. It influences me. More. And this book was called the Book of Zohar because the influence of that light from the upper Zohar, and through its light we are influenced in upper providence to all those who engage in it. They are all influenced by it. Yes, there was light in upper abundance influenced in the secrets of the Torah, yes, through such unique tubes to us, being that we're influenced from there, this composition is called the Book of Zohar. Yes, being that we're influenced from the upper Zohar in the spiritual world. And it is written in the next book, Netzir Chesed, we're told like this: if they would have listened to me, if people would have listened to me, they would study with the child of 9 years old the Book of Zohar. In other places it's even written you could even begin at age of 7 or 6 or 7 years old to begin studying the Zohar. The truth is, what's the difference? What do we understand compared to children? Not really much. It's all just a remedy to awaken some upper force upon us. Let's go onwards. Sefer Pevi Yoetz. The words of the Zohar are capable for the soul. And even though he does not understand what he is saying whatsoever, and he makes much mistakes in it, it is akin to one who enters. This is like a baby who doesn't know a thing. He doesn't know half the words or the letters, their pronunciation. But his mother and father will laugh with him and be happy for him. Yes, the Creator is happy and he's laughing that we study and we're learning this book. Despite that we don't have the ability to understand with our mind what is written there. And also in the introduction of the famous sages, they write like this. This is hundreds of years ago. They write this: we hope that the whole world will determine time to study the Book of Zohar together. Will declare upon it, the rich and the poor, the great and the small, how good and how pleasant it is if they shall make the effort to declare groups and study of the Book of Zohar. And especially to know in such a time that the sparks of redemption have begun to blossom upon us. Yes. Meaning, in our time, according to how much we're developing towards exiting to the spiritual world, greater and greater and greater, we must be tied to the Book of Zohar. The Chida, this was a great Kabbalist, also hundreds of years ago, he wrote, the study of the Book of Zohar, it raises all who study it, and it is elevated above all other studies, despite man who doesn't know what he is saying even, and even more so, he'll be making much errors in his reading. It's still a great correction for his soul. We see here, yes, everything what they say, as explained, is not according to our mind. The Zohar does not speak of corporal matters at all, rather in the upper worlds, which there is no order of time there, like in corporality, no chronology. Spiritual times are understood as change of states above time and space.
This is what is happening with us, where at the moment we are sent above this world, we are entering a different flow. We are not identified with our animalistic body, which live according to years, pulse. We are living then according to the flow in the spiritual world. Their time is completely different. It is a change of form that occurs with us. And the change of form is eternal until Ein Sof, infinity. So now, in our days, in our time, we must come to it. And this is, in that way, each and every one must do it for sure. He who hears about it can do it in this lifetime, this incarnation.
The
main studying at that time, in such clarity and the light of expansion, is since the evil increased greatly in the world. And in that studying, the soul will be purified. And indeed, at this time of studying, the secrets, and especially in the Book of Zohar, shines to the soul. I'm just reading quotes of all kinds of books, different books, and the difference between them can be hundreds of years one way or another. There's no change in the value for he who contemplated in the Book of Zohar and the wisdom of truth. I want to say one more thing. Man should not go through more than 24 hours without at least spending an hour and engaging in the wisdom of Kabbalah, which elevates him from this degree to the next world. After, what are we living for? We are living in order to elevate from this degree to a higher degree. So at least 1 hour a day, if we allocate to it, it elevates us, and gradually thus we enter spirituality. And we read that about how invaluable it is, because he engages in this composition, awakened force in the soul, with the force of the Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the author of the Book of Zohar. for it renewed the light and divinity shines within this light, and all who engages in it. In the book of Zohar, the light is awakening the same light that Rabbi Shimon and his friends revealed at the time of its composition. Therefore, we are studying together. We try and keep the intention of being together, interlinked, and that we don't love one another, and we hate one another, and we're far from one another, and we forget about one another, and we don't really care about one another, until we remembering that yes, we are one soul, yes. It doesn't matter that we are thinking in that way. It comes to us as a preceding data from the sky that we need over it in guarding that hatred among us. As much as it will be revealed more so, we need above it, above that data, to build, to try and build a connection among us. Incapable, never mind. It is the upper light who will do that for us. I just want to imagine myself as a baby that engages in certain game as if he's an adult. Nothing more than that. Everything else is the light's work. Therefore, what we are engaging in, what we are doing, is called the work of the Lord. What is the work of the Lord? I need to do something. No, they tell me, you have to do nothing. You only have to ask, to wish. And the work is upon Him, upon the Creator. And to strengthen the studying of the Zohar, even though a few attempts will come his way to separate him from the study. This is from a great book called the Masik Eliezer. Meaning, at the time of studying, we are constantly may feel tired, had enough, I need to go to the toilet, something else, I forgot here and there, yes, no, happens, right? I'm sick of it, yeah, a bit. I haven't slept well, I'll just, another 5 minutes, oh, I forgot that I have something there, what will I do? All kind of things. The Creator knows how to play with us. He sends us thoughts, they are not our thoughts. We have nothing. Every moment, a person is like a computer which someone pressed delete on. Every second. Delete. And at every single moment, a new thought evolves. Even though it seems to us as a flow, like it is a flow. And nothing disappears. It is incorrect. It is nevertheless renewed from zero. This is how the frequency in us, in the pulse and tactics, works. And everything renewed. Therefore, if all of a sudden I have a thought that completely a moment ago I didn't engage in, didn't think of, you can trust him. He arranges that. And all the thoughts he arranges and sends, and all the situations are only in order to take us, draw us further away from the goal. Remember that example of the one who climbs to the palace of the king, and there along the way there are guards and policemen who are pushing us back. These are those thoughts. Therefore, truly, we should be glad for receiving those interruptions and remembering that these are interruptions and can punch them in the teeth and move on on and on. To try. Here, only the work of the group, the general spirit that resides at the time of the lesson, assists the person. If everyone is in such a force, a person within the group will also have the force in the correct thoughts of overcoming. And if not, he will become weaker. The Ari, this is a huge Kabbalist who brings us the whole wisdom of Kabbalah.
Newton,
one day of studying the book of Zohar equates a year of studying from any other source. The book of Zohar is like Noah's Ark, in which many types, meaning animals and all kind of things in the book, in the ark, and there's no existence to all these types other than their entrance to the ark. So will the whole of humanity enter into the light of the composition of the book of Zohar, and through the remedy, the virtue of the book, would connect among them even the most wicked ones. All will find place and tranquility in it. This is how the book of Zohar would reform us to be as in Noah's Ark. Well, that's it, pretty much. I'm afraid to not to allow them to ask. This is just a little bit of how much Kabbalists have written about this special composition. There's nothing more than that. It was written by a group, which was the final correction, and in our world also, therefore this force breaks everything. Simply only to wish they will come. Therefore, he who understands and he who does not understand, he who wants and he who does not want, at the times we read the book of Zohar, or at other times, must hear a bit something. Every day. Let's move to the questions. Well, ladies first.
Hello, Rav.
Hello.
Hello, everyone from my biggest ever world immediate family. I love you all. And my name is Eva.
Say bye.
She's saying good things about me.
Shalom lekulam, shalom lekol ha'mishpacha miyadit sheli ba'olam.
It's for everyone.
No.
So my name is Eva, and I am from the world Kli. So, do you mind I switch to Russian? It will be much easier for me, okay, to express my feeling. Okay, can I do that? Не было такого конгресса, чтобы люди не подходили ко мне, не смотрели на табличку на моем имени и на полном серьезе не спрашивали: «Послушай, зачем ты откусила это яблоко?»
There was never a congress before where people wouldn't come to me, look at the nameplate, and ask me, «Listen, why did you have to take a bite out of that apple?»
У меня были проблемы с моим именем очень многие долгие годы моей жизни. Я с ним не совпадала.
I've always had a problem with my name. By the way, it's Eva is Eve in English.
Or Hava. Yeah.
Or Hava. I've always had a problem with my name. I always felt like it didn't match me, it didn't suit me.
пока в один прекрасный день я не проснулась и не поняла, что я ответственна за весь мир.
Until I woke up one morning and realized that I am responsible for the entire world.
С этого момента я начала искать, как себя успокоить, потому что это же невозможно было выдержать. Я нашла книги Рава за год до того, как пришла первый раз на его лекцию. Это было 10 лет тому назад.
And ever since then, I've been searching for a way to really appease myself, calm myself. And then I found the books of Rav, not long before I came to one of his lectures. That was 10 years ago.
И мне говорят, что я должна ускорить свой вопрос. Рав, я 10 лет молчала.
They're telling me that I need to get to the point of my question. But Rav, I've been silent for 10 years.
כן, אנחנו מכירים את אחד השני כבר.
Yes, we know one another. Esther Shenya. Indeed, for 10 years. Yes.
И чем дальше, тем больше я изучала с вами Каббалу, тем страшнее мне, страшнее и ужаснее от ответственности, которая на нас лежит. Мне становится, на самом деле, у меня перехватывает от ужаса этой ответственности, у меня перехватывает дыхание, у меня останавливается сердце.
And the more I study Kabbalah with you, the more I realize just how much responsibility lies on us and on me. And the more I think about it, it just my heart stops and my breath simply stops from just thinking about it.
У меня ушло достаточно количество лет, чтобы понять, что то, чем мы занимаемся, отлично от нашего мира, потому что в нашем мире женщина смотрит на мужчину и думает, все, что ты делаешь, я точно могу сделать лучше.
It's clear to me that what we're doing here in Kabbalah is very different from this world, because in this world a woman looks at a man and says, I can do the same thing that you do and I can do it better.
В какой-то момент я поняла, что, дорогие мужчины, мы без вас не можем сделать ничего.
And at a certain point I understood that, dear men, without you, we're unable to do anything.
Я знаю, что мы должны передать вам ваше желание. Желание спасти этот мир, потому что мы основа для последнего поколения. Если не мы, то никого больше нет.
I know that we must pass on to you our desire to save this world, because we are the foundation of this new generation.
Дорогие мужчины, я вас прошу, услышьте нас. Услышьте нашу мольбу. Мы без вас не можем сделать ничего. И, дорогие женщины, давайте объединимся. И, Раф, пожалуйста, мы начали изучать Зор. Может быть, вы найдете какой-то новый способ для нас, женщин, объединить это желание. Это единственное, в чем мы можем объединиться, и передать его.
Dear men,
пожалуйста.
Please hear our plea. Hear our plea that we're begging you to unite and to save this world. And dear women, please let us unite around this and let's make this happen. And to Rav, now that we started studying the Zohar, maybe there's something that us women can do to gather around it and then unite our desire to make it happen.
Спасибо большое.
Thank you very much.
Well, she didn't just say for no reason, because there's something to scrutinize here. Indeed, in our world, we need to work together, men and women. Spiritual degree is like corporeal birth. It is also called like that. Zivug dehaka, ibu, yenika, mochin. Just like in our world, we give birth together to children, So in the spiritual world, we together have to work in order to bring about, give birth to a new state. It is impossible without a woman's desire, and it is impossible without the man's work together. We truly have to work together. God forbid, in no way do not think it is up to the men, and the women here are in kind of a state, like a desperate state. If the men don't want, and the whole world goes down the drain. This is not true. Just like in our world, we have on the part of nature interdependency. Man and the women, and the women depend on the man. Man is incapable of living without a woman. He simply will not be able to. He's incapable of arranging his own life. Woman can manage without a man much better. We see that. However, to continue into a new state, a new generation, we can only do it together. Therefore, it is written about it in the Matan Torah, giving of the Torah and the birth of the new degrees, how we need to work in harmony among us. Everyone is his field, not to replace a woman by man and a man by woman, although nowadays everything happens, rather to understand that this is a malfunctioning. Rather, we should know precisely how to connect together correctly in an optimal manner to give birth to new states, what we call children, so that we will have comfort and pleasure. We are a new generation, the first generation that is starting the correction. People would study our generation and will continue the work, and we need to be pioneers in those things, to try and understand how to live together in such a way that from the complementing, completing our desires, we'll give birth to a new degree. And we will receive the light that we form together, like in the statue of Mount Sinai, of the giving of the Torah. Today, we are the whole of humanity, and then people across the whole world will feel that there is a force, an intensity that draw them and hypnotize them. That depends on our mutual work. Because just like that, to go and study the group or a woman through a computer at home, it's not the trick. To connect among us for the birth of the new state in our desires, in truly in an inner longing for it to happen, we are yet to understand how to do that. It is still ahead of us. And I am hopeful that by the studying the book of Zohar, and especially now as we are developing this new virtual simulator, that will advance us. We will succeed. I hope that within 6 months we will have a new system operating. Please.
Hello, Rav. Hello, everyone else. My name is Chad. I'm from Wisconsin, and it's a pleasure being here, and I don't think just for myself.
Shalom Rav, shalom lekulam. Ani Chad mi Wisconsin, veze ne'edar liot po. Ani choshev lo rak ani margish et ze.
It is said every spiritual root must touch a corporeal branch. We have the Zohar, the Torah, the group, and these stay for quite some time. Why do I recall hearing that mitzvot exist only spiritually, and when we are away from the Rav, the books, and the group, how can we incorporate intention throughout the rest of our day?
יש נאמר החוק הזה שכל שורש רוחני חייב לגעת בענף הגשמי, אז ככה בהקשר של תורה וקבוצה וכולי אנחנו רואים את הדברים האלה מתגשמים. איך זה שמצד שני מצוות קיימות רק ברוחני בעצם לא בגשמיות, ובנוסף איך אנחנו יכולים כשאנחנו רחוקים מהרע ומהקבוצה וכולי לשמור על כוונה ולהכניס אותה לתוך היום יום שלנו?
You ask about a very broad thing, and there are many components in it.
First of all, we have reality. I received whatever I did from my teacher. This was according to the template, according to the structure. The Kabbalists always had a teacher and a student. This was from Adam HaRishon, the first man, in this path, until our day, in this chain, one after the other. What occurred in our time is something very unique. When my teacher passed away, I knew I was going to be on my own. I distanced myself from the rest of the students, and I thought about being on my own, and suddenly students started coming to me, and more and more and more. Not one or two, but rather tens of students. I began to teach. The urgency to circulate the wisdom of Kabbalah brought us to a state that we obligated us to open ourselves to the whole world, just like in the books. I began with all this even when my teacher was still alive. I wrote my first books back then in Russian, and I gave lectures. The students I brought to him, you could say he really didn't have students, other students. I went to Berg's center. I brought students from there. I told them, look, I'm studying with the Rabash. I can give you lectures if you want. I can teach. They agreed. Berg himself agreed with it. I spoke with him personally. This was 1972, 1973. I gave a few lectures. They saw that what I know and what I'm teaching is entirely different from what he's teaching, and they stopped studying with Berg. They left him. Since then, we don't speak.
Yeah. 40 students left from there, including some of his best lecturers and teachers. The place basically crashed. When I brought them to the Rabash, I didn't care for them anymore, you could say that. When Rabash basically passed away, I left everything. What am I trying to say in this? There's no reality anymore today where there is a teacher and a student, as was back in the day, this tradition. There is also no reality where there is some teacher and he's searching for some student to pass it on to. Because now the whole world has need for this. The reality has changed entirely. And thus, so we are, as in Bala Salam says, we're in this new generation. We have to teach everyone. We have to organize a group ourselves. How to organize a group? Kabbalists all wrote to us about it. In the group, we stay the same standard as they gave us. But regarding the relations between teacher and student, no. I don't know how to pronounce it, how to say it. It's possible, let's say, for one teacher to have millions or billions of students, yes? Because it depends who the student is and not the teacher. If the student wants to receive from the teacher and he can listen to him, you want something else for me to explain? I mean, all the rest will be revealed. Please.
Добрый вечер, Рав. Меня зовут Мурат. Я из группы Сан-Франциско.
Good evening, Rav. My name is Murat. I'm from the San Francisco group.
Я слышал, как вы не раз говорили, что нужно заниматься глубоким самоанализом. Не могли бы вы дать подробное определение этому?
Спасибо. Many times I've heard you say that a person needs to always conduct a very thorough self-analysis. Could you please elaborate on that?
The entire wisdom of Kabbalah teaches man about his forces of nefesh. And as much as he may advance, he starts to become more and more familiar with himself, the world, man's nefesh, spirit, and the forces there. He begins to develop in feeling and mind, in heart and mind. Yes, he becomes a self-psychologist. And also in general, these are those who advance on this path. They draw the light, and as a result, they begin to understand themselves. They, out of this, from themselves, they understand the world. They come to understand their substance, their material, and all its forms and relations, and how we receive the reality, how the reality is perceived within us, how it is impressed within me. There is no reality outside of me that we observe now. That is all my... It just seems to me this way. This doesn't exist on its own. It exists only within me, within my senses. Outside? I don't know what outside of me is. What am I taking my eye and pulling it out? No. My eye draws something in my brain, and that's what I have. My brain is drawing this picture for me. You think something enters your... something like beats your eardrum and goes through all these different electronic wires of the nervous system, and it's processed in the brain, and then I hear sounds? This doesn't exist. It seems to me that I hear something outside of me, because it's all within me. Within. The whole world is within. It's as we learn about the vessel. The sensation of one's internal state is called the world. So, besides learning this self-psychology and how I am built, I also study how I feel. And this is actually our study. Nothing more than this. Is that okay? Good enough?
No.
Great.
Hello. Hello, Rav. Hello, everybody. First of all, I want to say that it's a great pleasure being here. I appreciate you being here. I want to cross-reference something from this morning. You always emphasize that spiritual world and our daily lives, it's two different concepts. Isn't it meant to be, actually, that everything that you learn, that the knowledge you get, the feeling of knowledge you get from the lectures and spiritual knowledge, that you have to use it within your family, friends, your everyday, your daily lives?
אנחנו לומדים שהעולם הרוחני והעולם הגשמי הם בעצם מנותקים לגמרי, אז האם בכל זאת יש איכשהו יכולת ליישם את מה שאנחנו לומדים על רוחניות בתוך המשפחה, העבודה, מה שאנחנו עושים ביום יום?
אני לא יודע איך לענות.
I don't know exactly how to answer this. I'll tell you this. I feel the spiritual world. And beyond this, I'm present with you in this imagination that we call the corporeal world. And I must talk to you, I must have some attitude towards you, and play this imaginary game, like with everyone here. It's something that does not exist. It's such characters. When we attain the spiritual world, we attain truth. And then we begin to see this world just like a computer game. And not more. How do we connect both worlds? You can talk to a person who feels both worlds. So your question, I don't know how to explain it to you. How to connect if you still don't have what to connect? We must, as we read in the book of Zohar, first of all, to draw the light from that same upper dimension to influence us and raise us to the sensation of the upper dimension, and then we'll see it and this dimension, both of them, and then we'll receive the correct relation and what to do between them.
Hi, Rav. My name is Tina Quinn, and I'm from San Francisco. And I'd like you to clarify something that you wrote in your book, Attaining All Worlds. You said you should never stop communicating with the Creator. And I wanted to clarify that because I obviously am not talking out loud in public to the Creator, but I'm having a running dialogue in my mind. Is that what you meant? I don't want to sound like a kooky person, you know, but I want to just make sure that I'm not a kooky person by doing that. That's my question.
אז היא אומרת שהיא קראה באחד הספרים שלך על זה שהאדם צריך להיות בדיאלוג מתמיד עם הבורא, והיא אומרת שהיא לא נמצאת בדיאלוג מתמיד עם הבורא בצורה חיצונית, אבל כאילו בראש שלה כן מרגישה שהיא מנסה לעשות את זה, והיא רוצה להבין אם בעצם לזה מה שהתכוונת, כי היא רוצה להבין בעצם אם הוא קצת קוקו או שהיא לא קוקו.
Well, I didn't mean for imagination, yes. I meant this, that a person is always in an exercise, it's constant exercise. In connection with the force, the source of intellect and sensation, the source of his picture of reality. Yes, in each moment I exist right now, that I feel that I exist in the world, that there is me within the world. This sensation is formed in me, it's designed in me by someone whom I call the Creator. I don't know who I am. I don't know what the world is. I don't know who the Creator is. I know that there is a cause, some cause for my existence within the world, and then this sensation which is depicted in me, that reality is built this way, and through that sensation I now want to find a connection with him. Why did he make me this way? Me within the world. That this is how I feel. What does he want from this? What must I do from this moment onwards? Is there a need to do something? Or just to wait until I will feel some changes in me from him? There's many questions here. And so this that I feel, there is none other than him. And from this sentence and onwards, I got enough onwards, I begin to operate myself only in order to be connected with this state, just to reveal this reason, the Creator, that everything I do now is in intention to find the same reaction in him, how he operates me, how he invites me and invites his revelation. All this that I perform now is called my dialogue with the Creator. It's desirable for a person to be in this all the time. Maybe tomorrow morning we'll read the article, There is None Else Besides Him. Have a wonderful night. Remain with this thought.
Lay la 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 la